take the sacred scriptures this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to read maybe 19 verses, a little more than I usually read. We've had a lot of stuff in the media here recently concerning unwanted advances and abuse of power. We can go all the way back to 1900 BC, and Joseph could be enlisted with hashtag Me Too. I've had this message on my heart for a couple of weeks, and I have a little reluctancy in even preaching it. I have a few things that I need to say that may be a little hard, but they're very important. It's important for us to realize that we're all subjected, all of us, everyone in here, every person in here is subjected to temptation. We're all going to be tempted. And the way the world reacts to temptation is very different than the way we react as Christians. All of us wrestle with temptation, whether we're saved or unsaved. The tempter is in the world. We are instructed by Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount to pray, Lord, keep us from temptation. We need to pray that every day. And we should pray, Lord, keep us from the evil one. Keep us from evil. Protect us. We need that protection. And believers can pray that kind of prayer. But all of us, whether believers or unbelievers, are tempted to sin. Sin destroys us, and the tempter wants to destroy our lives. And so this subject is very relevant to all of us today. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, the great wisdom of Solomon radiates from this chapter and instructs us that when one tries to tempt us to sin, we are not to consent. Amen. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. Say no. Let's practice that. No. Charles Spurgeon said, having the power of the word no is better than knowing Latin. And I believe that our loyalty to Jesus Christ is more important than any loss we might suffer. If somebody is trying, I'm just going to have to say this, all right? Get this off my chest. If somebody is abusing their power and they are manipulating you in any way, you're not like Joseph. You're not a slave. Quit your job. I'm going to say that again. Just quit. You need to have faith in the Lord and trust Him that He's going to take care of you. He took care of this man, and this man was a slave. You're not a slave. Your loyalty to Jesus Christ is more important than any loss that you must suffer. And there is such a thing as a taser. There is such a thing as you know, hey, if somebody is touching you inappropriately, pop them in the nose. Split the Red Sea. That's what I told my daughter. Amen. Young girls, listen to me. I'm talking to the young ladies of this church. You can say no, and if they continue, you can punch them in the nose. And if you get in trouble, you call me. I'll bail you out. I'm sure your dad will too. Listen, we have a right to defend ourselves from things that are sinful and inappropriate. Amen? Now, I realize there are situations where people are overpowered and they are raped. And listen, if that happened to you, it is not your fault. It is not your fault. And you seek out counseling and you pray to God, and God can help you with that. Amen? But most of us that are Christians, we're not wanting to fall. We don't want to sin. We want to win over sin. Amen? We want to please the Lord. That's in us. As Christians, we want to please the Lord. And we need to know how to win the war over temptation. And this chapter gives us some instruction. I've never preached from this chapter. I have preached upon temptation. I preached about it last year, 2016. It's one of those subjects that need to be repeated over and over again. Because we are constantly and perpetually tempted to sin, and we need to win the war over temptation. So, let me just, before I probably should read these verses, let me just remind you of just a few things we learned about, and just keep your hand there on Genesis chapter 39. But last year, there's a few things that we learned, and I want us to just quickly review. First of all, we learned that temptation never comes from God. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, it tells us God does not tempt us to sin. And it goes on in verse 14 and tells us something else, that this temptation comes from within. Listen, God may test you to get you to pass, but it is Satan that tempts you to get you to fail. Okay? Keep that in mind. That's one of the things we learned. God isn't the tempter. Temptation is never from God. But we learned that temptation can come from within. Let's just turn over there hurriedly. I want us to look at just a few of those verses in James chapter 1, just to remind you what we learned, what these passages teach us. It says this, "Let no man say that when he is tempted, that he is tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he in him any man." But he went on and said in verse 14, "But every man, every person is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed." Okay? It comes from something you want from within. Your depravity has a desire, a sinful desire, and that want and that desire to commit sin comes from within. And it says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin is finished when it bringeth forth death. So, number one, God never tempts anybody. Number two, that temptation many times comes from what's within. And third, we learn that temptation must be handled properly. You might recall 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It tells us that God always provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. God always provides a back door. We just need to find it. Let me read that, okay? I'm going to read it to you just the way it's written in God's holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Amen? God is faithful. He's faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." So temptation is controlled, and he will not tempt you beyond what you're able to resist. And he says this, notice, "But will with the temptation," every temptation has a back door. Everybody say that, back door. Every temptation has a back door. You can get out of that. God will always provide a way of escape. Always. It says that here. "But will with the temptation always make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Okay? So God doesn't tempt us. Temptation comes from within. We need to learn how to properly handle that temptation. And also, number four, if you want to successfully navigate the troubled waters of temptation, you need to recognize sin for what it really is. It's not a mistake, it's wickedness. It's not an affair, it's adultery. You didn't misspeak, it's blasphemy. It's not an alternate lifestyle, it's an abomination, amen? We need to recognize sin for what it really is. It's sin. Now, let me give you some suggestions that I gave you last year. When temptation comes into your life, handle it immediately. Don't let it fester, okay? Deal with it immediately. That's very, very important. Like Barney Fife, you need to nip it in the bud, amen? Okay? Get on your face before God. Ask Him to help you. Then separate yourself from that temptation. Immediately do that. We need to deal with sin realistically. You're not stronger than sin. You need God's help. That's why Jesus instructed us, okay, to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Those are the words of Jesus Christ to the apostles in Matthew 26 and 41. You need to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation is not a sin, but entering into it is. Okay? You need to deal with it immediately. You need to deal with sin realistically. You need to deal with it ruthlessly. Okay? Do whatever you have to do to avoid the temptation. You know, I'll never forget going to a youth meeting, a youth rally, and hearing Brother Reynolds about 25 or 30 years ago speak to a bunch of young children and tell them that if you play out on the edge, you'll probably fall off. You live life on the edge of a cliff, you're liable to fall off. And sometimes we think we can live out there, but I'm telling you, we need to do whatever we need to do to avoid temptation. Regardless of what you have to do. You need to, if it's a problem for you, then you stay away from it. Amen? And typically, let's just be honest, most of us have one thing that Satan knows is our Achilles heel. Huh? You know, he'll tempt us in that area. You know, I don't have a problem with, greed is not a temptation for me, okay? I don't have a greedy bone in my body. Greed is not a problem, but there's something else that is, you know? Now, for my wife, you know, she's got a different mentality than I do, right? I better shut up anyway. All right. Sometimes we know our own greatest temptation. Sometimes we know the greatest temptation of others. But deal with it ruthlessly. Separate yourself from that. That's what Jesus taught us to do. We need to be consistent in dealing with temptation. We need to deal with it confidently. Listen, we need to put those things away from us that trouble us and cause us a problem. Run from it. The Bible says, young people, flee youthful lust. Amen? Run away from it. But many times we think we can handle it. And we do just the opposite. Instead of running from it, we run right into it. We just keep gorging ourselves with stuff that's tempting us. And we know it tempts us. And we think we can handle it. And I'm telling you, we need to be more consistent in dealing with temptation. We are commanded to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Amen? If it even looks like sin, get away from it. Get away from it. Proverbs 6 and 27, it asks a very logical question. Can you really take fire and put it in your bosom and not get burned? Can you walk on coals of fire and not burn your feet? Come on! Come on. This mentality that we are sophisticated, we're well learned, we believe that we can handle temptations, and I'll tell you, we can't. We need God's help, and we need daily deliverance from temptation. And that's exactly what Jesus told us to pray for. Some of the wisest and strongest men in history have fallen into temptation. David, Solomon, All of those things should be a warning to us. Men wiser and greater than you have succumbed to temptation. That speaks volumes. That's a lesson within itself. Amen? What's the Bible say? It says that we ought to be very careful. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Amen? Bible tells us that when we're trying to help somebody out of temptation, consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. Amen? Galatians 6 and 1. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. All right. Got through my introduction. That wasn't too painful. I should have got an amen from Bill, at least about the tasers and the pepper spray. Listen, if your daughters don't have pepper spray, buy them some for Christmas. Amen? You never know when they're put in a vulnerable situation where they need a little help. All right, that's enough of my... You know, it's like that when Paul said, I'm speaking a little bit in the flesh here. Sometimes we need to do that. And I don't know about you, but I'd do anything to protect my family and my little grandchildren. And anyway, and my wife, and we ought to protect this church. Amen. We know, I'm going to have to just get plain, okay? This world has a lot of perverts. It has predators in it. It has pedophiles up there. And I tell you what, somebody come in among us that's like that, we need to run them out. I believe in forgiveness. I do. I really do. But I don't mean I have to jeopardize and expose my kids to that stuff. I want to read, starting in the 39th chapter of Genesis. Wow. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites because he brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. I want you to underscore that. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him oversee over his house. And all that he had, he put in his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person. That means he was handsome and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And he refused. Everybody say, he refused. Okay, he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, everybody say day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. In other words, he avoided her completely. Okay, she was a problem, and he stayed away. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, and to be with her. And it came to pass after this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Notice verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. I want to speak to you just for a little while about the temptation of Joseph. At this point in his life, he was probably only about 17 years of age. I tried to reflect upon being 17 as I was studying about Joseph. You know, it says in verse 1 that he was brought to Egypt. We know the story about his coat of many colors. We know his brothers conspired to kill him. They threw him in a pit. We know that they lied to his father concerning his death, and rather than him dying, he was sold to some Ishmaelite merchants for about $100, the price that would have been paid for a slave that was crippled. I can only imagine in my mind, as Joseph was contemplating all the things that had developed in his life thus far. At the age of 17, he was the most favored of the family. That's why he received a coat of many colors. The Bible says that his dad loved him more than all of his siblings. Now, I know you're not supposed to do that, but he did. Jacob loved him more than all his siblings. You might say, well, you know, Joseph, he was an advantaged child. Really? Really? His mother died giving birth to his younger brother, Benjamin. He had four stepmothers. Can you imagine that? Four. I mean, he was in a vulnerable situation from the very beginning. He had a lot of difficulty to overcome, or he had three stepmothers. God delivered him, didn't he? God took care of him. He had several dreams. And God revealed to him that he was a purposed person. That God had a special purpose for Joseph, and he was a special person. In many ways, he was just a simple country boy. He was sold into slavery, into Potiphar's house. You know, I can only imagine as he came over that hill and he saw those pyramids in Egypt, the Sphinx, and, you know, Pharaoh's temple and Pharaoh's palace. I mean, that great big, you know, city. It must have been just overwhelming to him. Can you imagine being examined as a slave? I can't imagine that. But he was put on the auction block, and the Bible says that Potiphar, in verse 1, an officer of Pharaoh, purchased him. Now, I think verse 2 sums it up. The Lord was with Joseph. Amen? No matter what his circumstance, when his brothers hated him, when he was with those Ishmaelite merchants, when he was in Potiphar's house, no matter his circumstance, even as a slave, the Lord was with him. Now, I want us to look at this testimony that Joseph exhibited. All right. First of all, it was obvious to the people around him that the Lord's hand was upon him. Even Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And it explicitly says that Potiphar saw that the hand of the Lord was upon him. He had a personal testimony. Joseph had a personal testimony. I think the Bible's clear about this. Joseph had a personal relationship with God. Amen? He had a personal relationship with God. And when an individual has a personal relationship with God, a faith-based relationship with God, they have the potential to live a life that is worthy of the life that's given to us of God. And the only way you can have a personal relationship with God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him. To know the blessings of forgiveness that are provided through the cross of Calvary. It is very important for all of us, listen to me, it's very important for all of us to search our hearts and make sure that we have a personal faith-based relationship with Jehovah God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 that we ought to give all diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 to examine yourself. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know that ye yourself how that the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. You need to know for yourself that you're saved. Amen? The Bible's very clear about that. If Jesus is not in you, the Bible says you are a reprobate, except you be a reprobate. He had a powerful testimony. He had a powerful testimony in his walk. He had a powerful testimony in his work. A very powerful, not only a personal testimony, but a very powerful testimony. You see this in verse 3. It's very plain. And he was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. Potiphar didn't even know where his money was. He didn't know what was going on in the field. The only thing he was aware of, he turned it all over to Joseph. The only thing he was aware of is what he had for breakfast, what he had for lunch, the bread on his table. It specifically says that here. The only thing he was aware of was the bread on his table. Men saw for themselves the walk of Joseph. And they ought to see God in our walk. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13, we are to let our light so shine before men that they may what? See that glorious light that is within us. Listen, it makes no difference whether Joseph was in his father's house, whether he was in the pit, whether he was a slave, whether he was in Potiphar's house or whether he ends up in, well, he ends up in the prison in the last part of this chapter, no matter where he was, no matter what circumstance he found himself in, I believe he purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Amen. And it's important for you to purpose to do the right thing. Let me say this to the young people. You need a purpose in your heart that you're going to stand at the altar of matrimony as a virgin. Amen? Anything short of that is fornication. And it's a great, hideous sin that has emotional, physical, and psychological, and spiritual consequences, according to the scriptures. You're joined to that person for life. The world doesn't tell you that, but that's what the Bible tells you if you study it out for yourself. I think you need a purpose in your heart to stay away from drugs, from alcohol. I think adults that are married need a purpose in their heart that they're not going to commit adultery. Listen, folks, sin will ruin us. It'll destroy our lives. It'll cost you more than you'll want to pay. It'll keep you there much longer than you want to stay. Listen, folks, we need to purpose in our hearts. I believe Joseph purposed in his heart. As he went over that summit and he saw that great city, he said, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Okay. I'm in a whole different place. But I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be true to God. And all of us, when we go out there in the world, whether it's at school or our workplaces or wherever we are, we need a purpose in our heart that we're going to stay faithful to God. Because I'll tell you, temptation is out there. It's in the workplace. It's at school. It's in our homes sometimes. Come on now. And we need to avoid it. We need to, listen to me. You need to set up boundaries. Boundaries. You know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I know you preach against gambling and drinking and all that stuff. Yes, I do. I certainly do. I tell you what, you don't know if you're drunk until you take a drink. You know how to avoid being an alcoholic? Never take that first drink. Amen. Amen. And listen, if they legalize marijuana in Tennessee, the church needs to stand against it. Amen. There's no such thing as recreational, whatever they call it, a recreational high. You're either high or you're not, okay? Amen. Anyway, man, I've been soapboxing today, huh? I'm just telling you, look, we've developed this mentality that we can handle sin. And Jesus said we can't. The whole Bible gives illustration and example that we can't without the Lord being with us. The Lord was with Joseph. That's the whole reason he was able to ward off this temptation at the age of 17. I mean, you think about the predicament he was in. And most young boys at the age of 17 that had been betrayed of their family was in a whole different city. Nobody knew them there. You know, you were in Potiphar's house and here's this sophisticated Egyptian woman making passes at you. But I'll tell you what, he was more concerned with his character than he was with his reputation. And we ought to be concerned about our character. He had a testimony, a personal testimony. And people saw that he walked with God. They saw where he worked. As a slave, he walked with God. And there's something to this, okay? This man, I tell you, everything he touched turned to gold no matter where he was at. He had the Midas touch, okay? Whatever that is. I mean, I mean, and every place he was, every place he went, every place he resided, people prospered around him. Pretty amazing, huh? You know what that was? That was the favor of God. Amen? The favor of God on his life. See, he not only had a personal testimony and a powerful testimony, he also had a prosperous testimony. The blessings, no matter where he was at, no matter what he did, he had the right attitude. He ends up in prison by these false accusations and then ends up running the prison. Right? Pretty amazing. And of course, that ended up promoting him a little further into the palace. He went from the pit to Potiphar's house as a slave. He went from Potiphar's house to the prison, and from the prison to the palace. You know why? Because God had a plan for his life. And I need to close, and I'm not even close to being done. I just want to say this. The Lord wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to protect you in these situations out there. He wants to prosper you, give you a prosperous testimony, that no matter what kind of circumstances you find yourself in, it just seems like God's with you. God's blessing you. I believe God wants us to resist temptations. Amen? With all of our might. And whatever it is that is tempting you, stay away from it. Don't run at it. Run away from it. We're all tempted to sin. And I want to say this again. I just needed to get that off my chest. Use the word no. Okay? And listen, there's all kinds of craziness out there. And you deserve better. Amen? You deserve better. I appreciate your attention. Avoid temptation. Stand to your feet. Something on your heart. I didn't mean to go this long. The firestorm of temptation. Some have said that, you know, the things that we're dealing with today is worse than ever before. I don't know if that's true or not. I do know that we have greater access to temptation than ever before. Satan wants to make it easier and more available. He wants to flood our lives with it. But we need to be wise and run from it. We need to leave a personal testimony that we know God, that we walk with God. They need to see that every place we walk and every place we work. Amen? That we know God. God is in us. Listen, children, it's all right to say, I can't do that because I know the Lord. My son, he was in college. And he would tell people he couldn't do it because of his dad. That's fine too, right? My family would just, you know, I can't do that because of my dad. I can't do that because, that's all right too. Just know you can't do, there's certain things, not everything that is available is okay. There are certain things that are just not okay. Stay away from them. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. Some of you have reached an age where it's going to start bombarding you. You're going to have waves of it. Floods of temptation are going to come your way because of where you're at. But you can be true to God just like Joseph was. Amen? He lost his coat of many colors. He loses his coat of whatever special coat that Potiphar gave him. He lost it too, didn't he? Lost it too. But whatever loss you suffer, your loyalty to the Lord comes first. Amen? If you lose it all, stay faithful to the Lord. Okay? Please, stay faithful to the Lord. And God will bless you. God will bless you. You might end up in, you know, losing it first, but you'll gain in the end. Amen? Just like Joseph did. What a great story. What a great example we have in here of a man that stayed loyal to the Lord. And God rewarded him. Appreciate your attention.